You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the 12th floor of 50 Penn Place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the home of 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK, welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am your gracious and humble host, Eric G., thanking you so much for making us a part of your day. On this episode of Locked On Sooners, we'll be talking about Kyler Murray. Well, because we have to. I think it's mandatory that we talk about Kyler Murray now, like mandatory Metallica. We've got mandatory Murray. He met with the Arizona Cardinals yesterday in Norman. We'll tell you what that means for him. Also, the possible scenarios out there for Arizona and why they may be considering keeping Josh Rosen, and why, if that's the case, Kyler Murray needs to speak up now or forever hold his peace. OU has lost a couple of cornerback commitments. Normally, that would send me into a panic. I'll tell you why that won't send me into a panic this time around. Coming up in segment number two, we'll break down the Ole Miss-OU basketball game coming up on Friday in the NCAA tournament. I'll tell you the guy to really watch out for on Ole Miss. There is one guy that's getting all the attention, and there's another guy that kind of scares me, and why. Ole Miss is actually a formidable foe, but there are some things, though, you can take advantage of. That's segment number two. And then in segment number three, I normally would never utter these words, but I have to. Penn State is better than Oklahoma for your professional career. Let me say that again. Penn State is better than Oklahoma right now for your professional career. There's a twist to that. I'll tell you. I'll also tell you why I think Lincoln Riley needs to be knocking on the same doors that James Franklin are. It's all coming up here on Locked On Sooners. My name's Eric G. I work for 1340 The Game in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I run a website called Sooner Maven. So weird to say I run a website. I don't even know what the hell that means. But I am producing a website called Sooner Maven. It's collegesportsmaven.io/Oklahoma. collegesportsmaven.io/Oklahoma. And I thank everybody for their support on that. And I thank you for listening to the Locked On Sooners podcast. And if you like listening to this podcast, the best way to do it is listen on the brand new app Himalaya. You can also listen on Google Podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, and on Spotify. And when you get in your car, just tell your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast. I always like to start off this show addressing mistakes. Or actually, I don't always like to start off doing that because that does mean I've made mistakes. But maybe I'll start doing what I've always wanted to do, what PTI did. Have somebody there to kind of catch all your errors for when you screw up. And one of them I screwed up the other day is I gave Tanner Mordecai more stars than what he really had as a recruit. I said he was a 5-star quarterback. Actually, he's a 4-star quarterback. And I think, and matter of fact, I know I referred to Lincoln Riley's offense as air raid. Should have mainly called it the spread or whatever formation you want to call it. But I did want to at least correct the Tanner Mordecai thing. That being said, I do have faith in Lincoln Riley that if things weren't going well with Jalen Hurts, you've got a 4-star in Tanner Mordecai. You've got a very highly recruited guy in Spencer Rattler coming in. And Lincoln Riley develops quarterbacks. I think things are going to be fine one way or another with OU. But that's just me. And ultimately, I'm rooting for Jalen Hurts. I'm the guy that wanted to bring Jalen Hurts in the first place, and there was a lot of OU fans that didn't. And now every OU fan's upset if you don't say he's doing awesome at practice. And again, that came from a report. All right, I've addressed that enough. Let's get on to the podcast today and talk a little bit about Kyler Murray as he met with the Arizona Cardinals. And what are you supposed to take out of that? Well, the main thing you take out of this is both Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals are doing their due diligence. Yes, I said Kyler Murray is doing his due diligence. Kyler Murray needs to read the Cardinals just as much as the Cardinals are reading him. Even though the Cardinals hold all the cards and they can draft him, whether Kyler Murray likes the situation or not, he needs to figure out if this is the place that he wants to spend the first few years of his career. And one of the ways you do that if you're Kyler Murray, and the hard question, the first question out of Kyler Murray's mouth, more than the first thing he should have asked when meeting with Arizona is, are you planning on keeping Josh Rosen? And if the answer is yes, then very emphatically, if you're Kyler Murray, you tell them you do not want to play there. Even though you may have all the confidence in the world that you can beat out Josh Rosen, and Josh Rosen should have all the confidence in the world that he can beat out you, because, I mean, hey, he's a highly drafted NFL quarterback. You don't want to put yourself into a situation where you automatically go in and you've got one of your teammates disliking you. It's one thing to be competitive for a job. It's another to know that you're competing with a guy that had your job last year, expected to have it this year, and now feels like he got screwed over by the organization. Because that guy is not going to help you in any way grow as a quarterback in the NFL. So now you've got to probe them. And I look at what the Cardinals could be doing here with this pick. One, if you're the Cardinals, you got to figure out if whether or not Kyler Murray is the guy you want. And if he's not, then you've got to figure out what to do with that pick. And everybody tells you that it should be Nick Bosa. Well, here's what I do. No matter what the situation is, if I'm Arizona, I rave, absolutely rave about Kyler Murray and how great the interview was and how great he's going to be as an NFL quarterback and how impressed they were with what they saw on film at Pro Day. And they like where him and Cliff Kingsbury are, but they really feel like he's going to, you just really hype it up. Because the worst thing you're doing there, the absolute worst you're doing if you're Arizona, is you're starting to wet the palate of a team like the New York Giants. You're getting the Oakland Raiders a little bit excited there. Because we know, even though with Derek Carr, John Gruden loves Kyler Murray, or at least publicly has stated that, Bengals, whatever. So you're at least, you're starting to ring that bell and get that Pavlov's dog, point across to these other teams. You're starting to get them salivating. So that way they will trade you, they will make an offer that is too good to refuse, and then you benefit, you get to keep Josh Rosen. Maybe you give up on a guy like Nick Bosa, which might be a once-in-a-lifetime player, but certainly, if I'm Arizona, all things considered, I would prefer somebody move up and give me a bunch of picks versus take Kyler Murray in that first round. Even if I do believe that Kyler Murray is good enough to be a franchise quarterback, I'd still rather have the picks and see Josh Rosen for another year before I completely rule out whether or not he's the guy that can be my franchise quarterback. And the thing that's complicating all this is the most obvious point is you have Cliff Kingsbury in the middle of all this, and Kyler Murray is so tailor-made for that offense that Cliff Kingsbury runs that maybe you don't want to give up on that too soon. OU has lost a couple of cornerbacks from the 2020 recruiting class, which unfortunately has knocked OU all the way down to 12 in that 2020 recruiting class. But, you know, hey, actually, no, it's 14 that they've been knocked to in the 2020 recruiting class. And first one is Darian Greenwarren. The other one is Jalen Huff. And normally I would worry about this because these are good. These are really good looking kids. Huff is Huff's a 3-star recruit. And if I'm not mistaken, Green's like a 4-star. But the thing I liked about Huff is he played in the 7-on-7. He played on Cam Newton's 7-on-7 team and got the opportunity to go against Jaden Hasselwood, who's on OU's campus now. So he's had an opportunity to at least go against Big 12 type receivers, and one that he would go against in practice every day. And that's pretty damn, you know, that's pretty damn good competition right there. Why I don't worry about this is because both of these kids were tightly connected to Kerry Cooks. And one of them, and I need to point out his name again, Huff, is actually looking like he's going to lean towards Georgia Tech, so he's not even going to stay in the Big 12. But here's what I would say about this. I'm not going to rip high school kids because I don't think that's fair to rip high school kids, but I will say that we've seen the cornerbacks at OU under Kerry Cooks continue to get worse every year they're here. And what we don't know at this point is how much of that is Kerry Cooks and his lack of development, or how much of that is the kids that they're bringing in were just completely overvalued. And we're going to find out real quick. We're going to find out when Roy Manning gets a hold of these guys and whether or not we start to see them having success. And I would have a hard time judging Roy Manning and or Alex Grinch solely on this year. Yeah, I expect improvement in the defense, but until you get your own guys in, I'm going to give you some margin of error, especially in the defensive backs, both safety and corners, where we've seen them make so many mistakes over the last few years that I just don't particularly want to judge you on that, on just one year going, man, you can't coach these guys. And everybody, like the big fallback everybody says is, man, oh, you couldn't have just failed on these guys. Everybody wants them. Well, just because everybody wants them doesn't necessarily mean that they're right for your program. And I always like to cite Mack Brown on this. He said that Texas was taking kids that people thought that they should have. And they sort of let the recruiting go and they were listening to people. That's why you've got to do your due diligence. And even though a kid's a five-star and an incredible athlete, you've got to make sure that he fits in not only to your scheme, but to your culture, that he's going to be able to learn at the pace that you need him to learn. There are so many factors to take into account that it isn't just simply about missing on a kid. It's not just missing on his athletic ability. It's missing on the things that are below the surface that a lot of coaches can do, and it ultimately costs them their job. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. Remember, hey, if you like Locked On Sooners, then listen on the brand new app Himalaya. In the ever world of expanding podcasts, or in the world of ever expanding podcasts, Himalaya is really cool. They set up playlists for you. They know what you like. So do me a favor, get it at the App Store and then subscribe to Locked On Sooners. It's Himalaya and Locked On Sooners from the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
Make sure you listen to Locked On Sooners via the Himalaya app. Himalaya is very cool, and it's got all the Locked On podcasts there. So download that and tell your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Time to talk a little NCAA tournament as OU gets ready to take on Ole Miss on Friday. And this is a very dangerous team. I know that you're going to take a look at Ole Miss and you're going to see that they've lost five out of their last seven, that they've got a losing conference record the way that OU does. You're going to feel mirror image. No. At no point in this game, just mark my words in this one, at no point in this game should you ever feel safe and feel like OU's got it under control. The first thing that scares me about Ole Miss is they love creating turnovers, and they're very good at it. Had a chance to watch them against Mississippi State today before I went on, and that was a huge part of just how they got their offense going. Against Missouri, they ended up scoring 32 points off turnovers against Missouri. And when you're playing zone the way OU does, and Lon Kruger has been masterful putting that team in a zone, masking some of OU's defensive deficiencies since they really can't play man. The best way to break the zone is one, hit outside shots. If you can't get in the middle, be able to hit your outside shots because they've got you pushed out. Or two, just do not let them get set up. My fear is that Ole Miss isn't going to let OU get set up in that zone. The other thing is you look at Ole Miss on defense, they kind of play a 1-3-1. They will trap you at midcourt. And when you're talking about a young kid like Jamal Bienemy, I'm wondering how much that's going to bother him. Look, he started enough games now where as a freshman, something like this shouldn't be an issue. He should be prepared for anything. And I would think that this is something you were really concentrating, if you're Lon Kruger, you were really concentrating on in practice over the last 3 days. But if you're Jamal Bienemy, once you get towards midcourt, you really need to be looking to get the ball into Brady Manick's hands. You need to be getting the ball into Christian Doolittle's hands as much as possible. Not a lot of size on this team. Size-wise, this team matches up with OU, and I would expect that if Bienemy can get the ball into Christian Doolittle's hands, he's going to be able to exploit the paint. He'll be able to have a big day. If Brady Manick chooses to play closer to the basket in this game, he should have a big day. Jamoney McNeese if he can go, if he can give you anything, I would think he might actually have some luck scoring in this game, because they just don't play lockdown defense in the middle. You're pretty much looking at four guards with the way that this team starts off in their starting five, although one guy's kind of a Blake Henson is his name. He's kind of a guard forward combo. 229 pounds, freshman, 6'7". Averaging about 8 points a game. And when I watched them, I didn't see them really going to him a lot. They concentrate on the scores. And you're going to hear a lot about Terrence Davis, who averages 15 points per game. He averages almost two steals a game. This guy is the catalyst. He's the guy that gets things going, the guy that creates issues for you on offense and gets that offense going. But the guy that scares me is his kid by the name of Breen Tyree, who is 35% from beyond the arc. He's only averaging 2 3-pointers per game. But here's the deal with 3-pointers in the NCAA tournament. It's not about volume. It's about sometimes how well-timed they are. And if he hits that one or that two, like late in the first half to build momentum going into the second half, or late in the second half, if Ole Miss is up or Ole Miss is behind, to either get closer to OU or just extend that lead out a little farther, he could be a little bit dangerous. If you're looking for an X factor with OU in this game, I gotta think that it's Christian James. And what I don't know about Christian James is whether or not he's going to show up and be accurate. I also don't know where his head is after what happened in the West Virginia game. I would think that based on his comments, he's going to come in pretty darn focused to win. And as far as OU playing the zone, if OU can force Ole Miss to slow down and play half court, it's obviously going to be to OU's advantage. But I will tell you that with as good as they are from beyond the three, which is about 35%, and with as many good shooters as they have in that starting lineup, they're probably pretty content to sit back and take some of those shots, especially if they start hitting early on. And it'll be one of those games where you're just going to get a lot of ebb and flow. And I don't think that at any point in this game you can ever feel comfortable about OU winning, even if they've got a sizable lead. We've just seen OU too many times this year take those sizable leads for granted and kind of wait for the clock to run out. And you don't have that luxury in the NCAA tournament because of how quickly emotion swings. And when you're playing early, you're playing at 11:40 in the morning, I don't think you understand or grasp the finality of what this all means until late in the game. So Ole Miss right now, 2-point favorite going into this game. I'm probably leaning towards picking Ole Miss after watching them a little this afternoon, but it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility for OU to win, considering the 8-9s have split evenly since 1985. And what a year for OU to make a run to. If there was any year I'd like to see OU make a run, it's this year, because it would prove just about everything I've ever said about the NCAA tournament right. But ultimately, yeah, this game does scare the hell out of me. But every OU basketball game scares the hell out of me. So if you have more confidence than I do, I want to come hang out with you. But I just get this way right before OU basketball games. Oh, also, call them Ole Miss or University of Mississippi. For some reason, they don't like to be called Mississippi. Who knows? OU's fine being called Oklahoma. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. What's the one thing Penn State has going for itself that OU needs a little of? I'll tell you next. Don't forget to listen to Locked On Sooners on Apple Podcast, on Google Podcast, and the brand new Himalaya. Just download that app on your phone and then ask your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On Sooners, your team every day.
Thank you for listening to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And thank you for listening to Locked On Thunder. Also, thank you for listening on Himalaya, the brand new app. Just tell your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast. For as great as OU's Pro Day was, and we all know that it was the biggest Pro Day in all of college / NFL football for the moment that everybody had their eyes on Kyler Murray, there are some representatives that I did not hear end up being at OU Pro Day. Now, I heard about the 32 NFL teams, and I would assume maybe that there were some CFL teams there. There were at Penn State. But what separated Penn State from OU was the fact that the WWE showed up for the second straight year to Penn State's Pro Day. Now, granted, Vince McMahon, you're starting the XFL. They're looking for players. I would think AAF was sending representatives every place, and you're just not hearing about XFL and AAF because, well, they're not the NFL right now. Opportunities for guys to play football, but it's not the NFL. Still, it's the WWE. And that, my friends, is an avenue that Lincoln Riley needs to explore. First and foremost, it's just great recruiting. Because wrestling is still extremely popular in broadcasting what we call that demo, that 1834 demo. No, kids still love wrestling. That's why you see WWE belts. And there's a lot of, I guarantee you have got kids on just about every college football team that think about making professional wrestling a career. And if you know you're not going into the NFL, like you don't have a shot, and you're thinking, well, okay, well, maybe I might play in the AAF to get better, or the XFL and then get a shot, or maybe even go to Canada and play for a while. That's one thing. But if you have an opportunity to go to the WWE and avoid all the injuries, not that you're not going to get a little beat up doing some of the stunts that they do, and there have been guys known to get concussion at WWE, that is a pretty awesome avenue to take for your career. And as somebody who has a kid that I think might have an opportunity to play college football, I would much rather my kid go into WWE after football than go into the NFL. One, I think you've got an opportunity to have one, there's the longer lasting career. There's that. And even as you get old, they always bring you back for WrestleMania. Two, if you're any good and you're charismatic, WWE can open a hell of a lot more doors for you than the NFL as far as you getting into acting, because you get to display those skills on how you connect with the audience every single week. Where the NFL, you really don't. They're going to throw mics in your face after a game or after a practice, but that doesn't really tell me if you're connecting with my audience. But I can tell that on WWE, and if you're popular, then hey, I'll sign you to a movie contract because somebody will pay to go see you. I love this idea. Hopefully Lincoln Riley can do this, and I think we should start making a bigger deal out of it, at least on this podcast. I'm Eric G. We'll be back a little later on tonight. I think we're going to try and podcast after the Thunder game today. Talk a little bit more Kyler Murray, delve a little bit more into spring football. It's the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. May God bless you and your family. Everybody love everybody. And peace, love, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcasts Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.